Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
Well, welcome back to church, everyone. Hey. Yeah. It is so good to see you here and to have you in the building with us. But everyone as well who's watching from home, and I know that there are a number of people that are watching at home and joining us for church as well, and you are a part of us as well. And so let's just welcome everyone who's watching at home at the moment. Can we, church? We are thankful that you're joining us here too. And I know it's a bit different if you haven't been here before to see the different cameras. And if one of us gets too distracted, then like we've been looking at that thing for the last 9 months, and so we trust that there were always people at the other end. But now you're here, and it's amazing. It's great. Get on with it, Andrew. Get on with it. And if you're visiting, and if you've visited with us over this time, there have been many, and we've got some great stories to share with you, church, about the many visitors that have been joining us through this time online. And we are so thankful, and we want to invite you, if you're still doing that, to come and join us in the building. Registration is important to come to for church, and I encourage you that even with the live stream continuing on, get in the building. Get in the building and say hi to someone. And I think that that's important because as people come through those doors, as they come and they've been invited by someone or they're perhaps watching this on the stream, I would love it if we had a church that was here able to welcome them in with loving arms, you know, and just put a smile on your face and say, we are so glad that you are here. And that is the truth. That is what God is doing for you. Standing with open arms saying, hey, I'm so glad you're here and I want to welcome you in. And that's the loving God that we serve. Let's just pray before we get to the message. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for, God, the ability we have to come together today. To come together as people with one purpose, Lord God, to give you glory above all else. And we think of the many different aspects that go into church. We think of the many different people that are here today, Lord God. And we know that above it all, Lord, you are here with us, that we can meet so freely with you. We think about our kids, Lord, the children's ministry of this church. We think about the young leaders that are coming. We think about those who are, Lord God, finding out more about your truth. And we pray that you would open their eyes and their hearts to you and the way that you're at work. Be with us this day, we pray, as we open ourselves up to what you want to speak to us about. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, oh, it is so good to say that and have people respond. Oh my goodness. So, a series reminder, and we are in a series this year, towards the end of the year, which is behind me, He Shall Reign. Our series, He Shall Reign. And it was actually Steph who came up with this series name as she was looking at our carols night for tonight, He Shall Reign. And we wanted to know that with confidence at the end of this year, that God is working, that God has been working in 2020. And as we come to the end of the year, I've seen a few social media posts and heard a few people say, look, I'll be happy when 2020 is done, right? I can't wait until December 31, as if like there's just going to be this magic that makes all of our problems go away when it comes to 2021. That's not going to happen, I don't think. And we want to, you know, some people want to throw away 2020, but I think it really depends on the lens that you have, that you look back at 2020 through, right? Whether it's been really troublesome or whether you've been through trial or whether you see that and you go, well, God, I saw the way that you were growing me through that trial and growing me through what I went through this year. I think that's really, really important. Perhaps we've had a lesson in resilience this year. Perhaps we've learned that when it comes to trusting in God, it's not actually optional. It's not something we shouldn't be prepared to choose whether we're going to trust in God or not. We need to trust in God, right, through the good times and through the hard times. But above it all, I think as we look back on 2020, you will inevitably do later this year, if you're not already. We as we go through this series, we're going to look at this beautiful Christmas story, this story of a beautiful baby who was born. And I want us to, as we do this He Shall Reign series and go through the end of the year, look at it through that lens of those three words at the back there. That through this whole Christmas story, we understand that He shall reign. That this Christmas, we should declare that. He shall reign. And the fact that who He is and what He did for you and me, the truth of that statement, He shall reign, is why the Christian life, or being a Jesus follower, is not just a different way to live, right? It's actually locking into God's own design for each one of us. We're locking it in. We're locking in by the way we live based on that fact that he shall reign. Your true purpose in life can only be outworked to its fullest when you have the right person sitting on the throne of your life. And spoiler alert, that's not you. It's not me. It is God on the throne. Jesus is on the throne. So what's true about someone that reigns? There's been a battle. There has been a victory that has happened. And I've titled today's message, if you're writing notes, Living in Victory. Living in Victory. I want to tell you a story, and we're going to see a quick photo of this guy. This is Hiro Onoda. Hiro Onoda was a Japanese lieutenant who fought in World War II. Some of you might have heard of him. And in December 1944, he was stationed on an island, Lubang Island, in the Philippines. And he was ordered to hamper enemy attacks on the island, and under no circumstances was he to surrender, and under no circumstances was he to kill himself, for him to take his own life. And so that's December 1944, and 3 months later, in February of 1945, the island was overtaken by Allied forces, and all but Onoda and three of his men had either surrendered or had passed away. And at this point, he was the ranking officer, and he instructed his men, let's get out of here, let's go, and they fled to the hills. And over the next 4 months, these four men actually carried out guerrilla activities and engaged in several shootouts with the local police. Japan, if you know your war history, Japan surrendered in August of 1945. Yet the first that these three men heard of this was a leaflet that was dropped months later, dropped from a plane over them, that said, hey, Japan has surrendered, you guys can now come out. And so they looked at this and they studied it and they said, this must be fake. This must be propaganda. This is the Allied forces trying to bring us out, which had happened throughout the war, obviously. And so for years, they fought on. More leaflets were dropped and determined to be fake. Onoda's companions, unfortunately, they passed away one by one until he was on his own. He was by himself. And then on the 20th of February, remember this was 1945. Then on the 20th of February, 1974, a Japanese man named Norio Suzuki was traveling the world. They'd heard that perhaps someone was still alive. He was traveling the world to find Lieutenant Onoda, to find a panda, and to find the abominable snowman, in that order. That was his goal. And so he actually did what many, many others couldn't do, and actually found Lieutenant Onoda on the island in where he set himself up. And it didn't take a conversation, but it actually took for Onoda to stand down, his previous officer to fly to the island and actually relieve him of his duties before he surrendered his arms. That's how loyal he was. Onoda went on fighting a war that was over for another 28 years. 28 years. There had been a victory, but he was still living like the war was yet to be won. And my question for us today is that if we know that God reigns, if we know we are his, are we actually walking in that victory? And my desire for us as we walk through this series is that this would be a leaflet drop reminder to all of us that who is on the throne of our own lives, who is on the throne when it comes to this world that we live in. If anyone's taught anything, has anyone tried to teach their kids or teach someone how to do something at home? Yeah? You try to teach your kids, what's that, Nick? What do you try and teach the kids?
Cleaning up.
How to clean up. You would know this is true then, if you've ever tried to teach a child how to clean up, that teaching them and them knowing something and them actually doing it and walking in it are two very different things. And I teach my son basketball, Judah's basketball team, I coach them. And there are things that we work on when we're at the stadium beforehand, and we do these drills and I show them how to do good defense. So good defense, you've got to have you've got to be shoulder width, a little bit wider than shoulder width, knees bent, arms up, and you slide your feet, right? Yes, good Keitha. Slide your feet. They haven't had to move for a long time. Slide your feet. So what have I said? There's three things you have to do. Number one was what? Was anybody listening? Yes, shoulder width. What else? Hands up. What else? Slide your feet. You got it. Three things. Now, it's pretty easy to remember that, right? You'd think, when we get out in the game, do you think any one of those things happens? No. It's just Andy, Coach Andy, wrecking his voice from the sidelines, saying, move your feet, move your... No, I don't sound like that. Do I sound like that, Judah? No, that's exactly right. I sound a bit kinder than that, don't I? And so there is this major difference between knowing something and actually walking that out and actually living that. I think we know that. And so how does that apply to us when we think of He Shall Reign? Let's start with the following. Psalm 146:10. Let's have it up on the screen. It says, the Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. And the second one, Psalm 47:8. God reigns over the nations. God sits on His holy throne. You know, we sung that and we've been singing that for the last few weeks, and we're going to sing it tonight again. He shall reign forever and ever. These words have been sung over years, right? And these are the words that, like, that's only two psalms, but throughout all the psalms, this comes up over and over again. It's something we have sung for generations. If you look at Revelation 4, you can take a look at it a bit later, and there's this beautiful picture painted in Revelation 4 of the throne room in heaven and the angels and the creatures being around the throne. And what are they sing? They sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. What a beautiful picture. And so knowing that, my question for all of us is, what is our response? And whenever we talk about something here in church, and whenever you hear the word preached or you read the Bible yourself, I want you to ask that question. All right, if this is true and if I believe this, then what is my response to that which I know? What is my response? How do we live now knowing that God reigns? If your dad is the boss, what does that mean for you? And when it comes to victory, I think it means two things. When it comes to victory, we know that victory can determine the way we live. And victory also reminds us where the enemy sits. And I think there's far too many people that are walking around with the enemy still having his way, though we know the enemy has been defeated. By the Lord Jesus, the enemy has been defeated. We're going to read Romans 8. And if you've got your Bibles, I encourage you to get that out. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 11. And if you don't have them there and you don't want to read, then maybe just close your eyes while I read this out. It's just a beautiful passage of Scripture, and we're going to break down a couple of verses. So Romans 8, 1 to 11, I'm reading from the ESV. It says this, there is now I want you to say this with me, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the what? Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the minds on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You who are, however, are not in the flesh but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. An amazing passage of Scripture, and one that you really could take on for the next year and study. Exactly what that all means. But I want to start by looking at verse 1 and 2, and we're just going to break that down today. Verse 1, let's have verse 1 and 2 up. Verse 1, there is now no condemnation. Another word that the Bible uses for this is justification. The debt has been paid. It is good news that we are forgiven. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is forgiveness. And verse 2, this is the second part, justification and sanctification. And this is sanctification, is that lifetime transformation that happens from that point. And verse 2, I want us to see that there is no condemnation. There has been that. There has been a pardon. And in verse 2, that we are to live that out, there is power. There is power that comes through that sanctification process. There is pardon in verse 1, and there is power to walk that out in verse 2. You get it? Are we good? Set free from what? What are we set free from? Sin and death. Thanks, guys. Sin and death. So I want to look at those two things. What about death? How has death been defeated? Through the resurrection. Death is defeated. See, death is not cancelled, but death is actually conquered, right? We will still pass away here on earth, but death is not the final point. Death is not the full stop when it comes here. There is simply a comma for what is to come. We praise God for that. Jesus was raised to life just as we are and will be. 1 Corinthians 15:55. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? Say it with me. O death, where is your sting? Where is it? We sing that. It's such a powerful verse when we actually can live that out. Live knowing that there is no... when you're in Christ, there is no sting in death anymore. It means that through the victory we have in Christ, we need not fear death. We need not fear. Eternity awaits. Eternity in the presence of God. And I know whenever I consider someone who I've known that has a relationship with Jesus, and I consider their passing, that eternity in the presence of God, man, doesn't that bring peace? It brings joy knowing that that's where we're headed, right? I don't know if I've said this before, heaven, my image of heaven as a child was it was full of video games. And they were all free, as long as I wanted. That was heaven to me. That's not it. It is so much better than that, right? So it's great news that we've been set free from death. But set free from sin is the other part. Sin leads to death, but Christ has won the victory over sin as well. I love this quote I read this week from C.S. Lewis. It says, "It's not your business to succeed. No one can be sure of that, but to do right. When you have done so, the rest lies with God." As we make our way through the Christian life, we learn more, we understand more, the Holy Spirit speaks to us, then we get to make that decision of whether we're going to be obedient or not. The Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit, as that comes, are we going to make the decision to be obedient as we walk that out or not? See, the desire of the flesh to go against it is so strong sometimes. Do we know that? Have you experienced that? The desire of the flesh that draws us away from what God has, especially when we're being called out of what's become a habit for us. And perhaps there are some habits that you have right now that maybe God's been trying to draw you out for a long, long time. And it is hard, but I want you to see today the victory that you have through the power that was won for us to see breakthrough in that situation. We need not live in it one more moment when we understand the power that is in Christ Jesus. Amen? 1 Corinthians 10:13, let's read this. "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will always also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." We have, through Christ, the victory over sin and temptation. See, victory is not just pardon, it's not just power, it is both. Pardon and the power. Forgiveness is ours and the power of sin is broken. Through the power of the Spirit working in us and the fact that we are Christ's and He reigns, we can see breakthrough, right? We no longer need to be bound by the things that have us captive. Read this verse with me if you know it, John 10:10. It says, read it with me, come on. "The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it," say with me, "abundantly." Let's not be in a position where we settle for less than God's best for us, that abundant life that he has. The thief comes to steal anything that he can away. Anything that we can. Who was I talking to? I was talking to someone. Was it Chris last night? Just about the fight. The fight that we continue to be in for what God has for against what the enemy is trying to do. Because the enemy's a dirty fighter. He's going to fight any way he can to steer you away from what God has for you. As I was reading this, I was asked myself the question, then why? Why, if we know this, why do we continue to have sin in our lives? Why do we struggle? Why do we keep sinning in different areas if we know this and we understand the power? It's because sin makes promises, right? And we believe it. Sin says, what I have for you, what I have to offer is better than what Christ has for you. It is better, it is more satisfying than what Jesus has for you. Hebrews 11:25 talks about enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. And aren't they just that? The fleeting pleasures. They come and then they go so quick and leave us worse off out the other end. They deceive us and sin lies. And the one who is keen for you to sin, Satan himself, is the father of lies. It says when he lies, he speaks his native tongue. There is no truth in him, the Bible says. Does anyone wake up in the morning? I don't know. Anyone wake in the morning and go, it is my duty, it is for me today to go out and to keep sinning? I don't think so. I don't think that's anyone's attitude. Maybe. We'll pray for you. When we sin out of seeking pleasure, it's from the temptation of the devil and the promises of our own fleshly nature. But again, I want you to be reminded today. I don't want you to leave here going, oh, man, that's heavy. I know I'm doing it tough. I want you to leave here knowing that you have the power of sin is broken by the presence and the promise of a superior pleasure to that which sin promises for you that can only be found in Jesus Christ. Only by experiencing Jesus' saving faith. I read this as I was studying this, that willpower to conquer sin, which is something that we often go to quickly. Willpower, stop. What does willpower do if we conquer sin? It's not actually conquering sin. It's actually exalting self, because it's come down to us to actually do it, rather than the power of Christ working through us. And here's the thing, desire is not necessarily the problem. It's how we act on that gets us in trouble. Look at this, Psalm 37. This is beautiful. 4 and 5. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. And the order of these two, the first two lines, is really, really important. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. See, it's only as we delight ourselves in the Lord that our desires are transformed to that which he wants for us. And so let's not try and get that backwards and try and continue to change everything before we actually understand, all right, I'm actually going the other way. I'm going to delight myself in you, Jesus, and all that you have for me. Everything will come after that. As we close today, I really want to speak to those who are battling in a sin area in their life today. And you know, I know that can be all of us in one way or another. I want to remind you that as we enter this Christmas season, where we celebrate a baby boy, the Savior of the world, that we are to live that out. That in Christ, my sin has been forgiven. We have been pardoned. And we now have the power that in Christ to walk in that, to live in the abundant life that has been promised for us today. So I want to ask you to stand. We're going to all stand. We're going to read a scripture as our prayer to head off today. And perhaps, Trav, you can come and we might just sing He Shall Reign at the end of the service. Can we do that, Sal? As we say this prayer. And this comes from Psalm 51. And before we read it, we're just going to close our eyes. And this really is between you and God. This is an opportunity for God to continue that work in you, for you to delight yourself in him and all that he has for you. And the thing, you know, I think sometimes we have a thought that when we come to church and we've got some stuff that's going on in us, that maybe a pastor's going to look at us from the platform, look us in the eye and go, I know what's going on. Me as a young kid, I used to think that, man. I think Pastor Graham was like, look at me. I was like, oh, I know it. He knows it all. Ah. But, you know, it's the wrong image to have of God as he looks down on us, you know. And as God sees the things that we go through, you guys can begin. As God sees the things that we go through in our lives and these are things that are in our heart, you know what he looks at? He looks at us and go, come on, man. Like, I know there is better for you. And I want to help you with that. There is grace for you. There is grace for you. So I want you to close your eyes. I'm going to pray and then we'll read this together. Father God, I thank you for every person in this room. Lord, I thank you that as you see us, Lord, as you see us in Christ, you look at us and forgiveness is there as you see through the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, for us. We thank you for your saving grace. We thank you through that, the birth, death, and the resurrection of your Son, Lord God, that we live knowing that we have the pardon. But Father, we don't just stop there, but we live knowing that there is power to see breakthrough in our lives, to see, Lord God, your Spirit move through us, for us to fulfill our purpose in you to its fullest, to have life abundantly. Lord God, right now I pray for the breaking of the power of sin in people's lives. Lord, for habits that have been there for far too long, that they will be removed in the name of Jesus Christ right now. Father, we thank you that you died for that. We do not want to settle for any longer, Lord God, with less than your best for us. Lord, I pray for anyone who might be watching at home or perhaps even in this room, and I talk about this in Christ, and perhaps you don't know what that is, or you're not, wouldn't say that I believe in Jesus necessarily. I don't want to invite you. He's inviting you today to make him Lord of your life. To say, I know I can't do this. I know I can't do this life myself. I need your help. I need your forgiveness. And for you to continue from this day walking in him. So if that's you today, will you just pray this prayer with me? Dear Lord, I thank you for your forgiveness. I come to you today knowing that I do not in myself have the power, but in you and your death and your resurrection, that there is power for me to live that out. There is forgiveness for sin. I turn from the ways of my own and I run towards you right now, Jesus. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We say amen. We say amen. Welcome to the family of God. And it is so great. We would love if you made that decision to be able to chat through that with you and see if you have any more questions. But church, let's read Psalm 51 as we go today. Let's read it together. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, you who are God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, O God, will not despise. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for what you continue to do in us, Lord. And as we leave from this place, we continue to seek you, Lord God. Have your way in us. We lay ourselves down before you, God, and say, have your way in an even greater way. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen, amen.